Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have a fascinating program lined up for our listeners. Remember that format we were using, asking questions that sometimes are stimulating, and sometimes are just curious, and sometimes are quite moving. Questions that all Christians have from time to time, and we would really like to know what the Bible says about those questions. And we did a couple of programs in that format just to do something different. I've received some comments that people rather enjoyed that, and they found that to be quite informative. So we're going to do that again today, if you don't mind, Dave.
Oh, we get some tough questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are a lot of them. But I'd like to see what the Bible says. When I have these problems or questions or these issues come up, and, you know, every one of us have a little bit of soothsayer in us. You know, we have our own opinions, our own ideas. But what does the Bible say? And that's what I like to go by. That's the answer to your problems. And no matter what your question might be, the answer is in the Bible. And it's amazing if we just read it and think about it, all of our questions can be answered and problems resolved just that way. Here's a good example. Question for you, Dave. Is there more than one God? Is there more than one God? How about that? Is that a tough question?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not tough for you and I, but for some people it might well be. What does the Bible say? Well, right off the bat, Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, "The Lord, He is God. There is nothing else besides Him." Right off the bat, I like that kind of response. "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee. Thou hast not known me. They may know from the rising of the sun, and from the west, and there that is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Tell ye, and bring ye them near ye. Let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient times, who hath told us in that time, have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is nothing else." Isaiah 45, and that's verse 5, 6, 21, and 22. It's kind of a mixed up way of finding all those answers. But the point is, yeah, it's in the Bible. And the Bible tells us clearly, if you can read through all the verses and find out what it means, it's saying that there is no other God. It's just one. "Seeing it is one God, which shall justify by circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith." Romans chapter 3. "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all." Ephesians chapter 4, that's verses 4, 5, and 6. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men through Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy chapter 2. So there are many quotes like that. You know, Jesus only gave us two commandments in the New Testament. He had lots of Old Testament commandments to follow, of course, but Jesus gave us two. He says, one, love thy Lord thy God with all your heart and all your might and all your strength. And he is telling the people straight out that there is but one God. And the other commandment he gave us is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you can see the power that Jesus is trying to portray, even in his own sermons that he's sharing with the people. I think it's Acts 14 where you find Jesus talking about those two commandments. And I believe there's another place. I just can't recall offhand where it is located. You have anything to add to that thought process, David?
Well,
I think you pretty much summed it up when you said there was only one, period.
Next question, please.
All right, yeah, go ahead. All right, it's your turn. Give me a tough one.
What about heaven and where does God live? In my mind, here's where I have the biggest problem.
Okay.
Somebody said that just maybe in America, I'm not sure, but I've heard that there's like 20,000 people who die every day just from cancer.
Is that right?
Okay, if they're all Christians, where do they go? Mm-hmm. And if you add another 20,000 the next day, and pretty soon you have 7 days of 20,000, mm-hmm. you're over 150,000 people. Mm-hmm. We might have a couple million in the last few years.
Yes.
Where are they?
In the heavens. Yes.
The heavens must be a fabulous place to finally wake up and say, hey, I left Earth and I'm here in heaven. Yes. And look at this place.
Yes.
It takes us years and years to get over what God has prepared for us, his children. So if you're not preparing for that place, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, I know. I know. And how are we going to see all of our relatives and our forefathers?
How are we going to find them?
I wonder that. Yeah, how are we going to find them?
Somebody said that, you know, the Lord's waiting for you, and St. Peter will open up the gate, and you come. Mm-hmm. What about 20,000 people that cancer are swarming into heaven?
Yes.
Saying, well, you know, nobody's contacted me.
That's a very interesting question.
Does God live in heaven? Is that the question?
Yes. Well, the Bible says so.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
That's right.
Some of the questions that we want to answer, it's interesting to find out that we have more questions once we get those answered.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's never a...
We have no idea, do we? And it's always a puzzle, too. You know, the Jesus talks about the heavens and the earth. Heavens with an S, implying more than one. So there's more than one heaven, even though collectively all the heavens might be considered heaven. And that makes sense. But that answers the question of about thousands, maybe millions of people in heaven. But I think your other question is one that the Bible doesn't fully entertain. How are we going to find our loved ones? And there's millions and millions and millions of people in heaven. I don't know that answer.
I think maybe we're going to be a spirit. We're going to have a new body, and we'll have there's a whole new concept that's coming.
Yes.
I don't know if we need to even know those questions. People who ask those questions, are they really wanting an answer?
And that's a fair thing to say, yes.
I guess they deserve an answer, but sometimes we as Christians, we don't have the answers.
We don't have the answer. We don't know that answer.
Right.
Because it's not in the Bible, so we don't know. Yes. Okay, so, that's a fair thing to say.
Maybe another good question is, what does heaven look like?
Now, that's a good one.
Is it in the Bible that tells us what he is?
Okay. Now, that we can do.
All right, let's talk about that.
Let me share a reading with you, if I might, right out of Revelation, in fact. And he shows me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystals, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light, and there will be no candle, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow, I mean, you talk about a vivid description. That's right out of Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5 that I just read. So, you know, what does heaven look like? Well, he's telling you there's no sun, there's no moon. You don't need a candle. It's always daylight. But it's the radiance from the Father, from God the Father. So I like that answer.
Who surrounds God in heaven? I mean, if does he live in his own special place, or is these millions of people that are coming around him? You'd think after he got all these millions of people around him, he'd finally say, hey, let's go get the rest of them and forget it.
Yeah.
Why are we waiting? People always say, well, why doesn't he come? He's waiting for every person. He doesn't want one to perish.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're not a Christian today, get with it. We all want to go to heaven. We can't until you find your way to an altar and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yes. That's right.
As a human way of looking, sometimes humans, they don't have the right look. Those in heaven must laugh at we who live on earth and don't understand what heaven is all about. It's an amazing place.
Yes, it is.
How about this question? Who created the angels?
Well, God created everything, so he had to create the angels as well. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Receive glory and honor and power, and thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are all created. So yes, God did in fact create the angels, and that's right out of Revelations chapter 4, where we continue to study from Revelations as you see those answers of who surrounds God and who created the angels.
Okay, here's another big question.
Okay.
Are we going to be men and women in heaven?
Oh,
that's a big question.
Oh, right? That's one of my favorites, David. I like the answers. Let me go to the Bible first and read what the Bible says. But I think that's a fascinating question that we all deserve an answer. Let me start by saying, here's a familiar story. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which said that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. The last of the women did also die. Therefore in a resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are they given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 30. Now let me read this piece out of Galatians chapter 3. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26, 27, and 28. That is powerful scripture. So your question was very valid, David. Very, very valid. Are there males and females in heaven? The answer is no. No, and remember how the Sadducees were trying to trick Jesus by saying, hey, you know, the law says if a widow has no children to her first husband, then his brother must marry her and to give her children. And if the second one does it, then the third brother. And the third brother, he went all the way to the seventh. And they were trying to trick Jesus into giving them some kind of an answer. And he gave them a response that really shocked them.
Well, how many angels is there in heaven? When I read the scripture in Revelation, mm-hmm. It'll blow your mind to think that. Let me just read Revelation 5.
Okay.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands.
Isn't that incredible?
That's angels.
That's angels.
It doesn't include the millions of us who are God's children.
Wow, yes.
And what in the world did he have that many angels for? I mean, I'm not That'd be another great question for you.
Sure.
What was God's purpose for the angels?
He sent those angels to earth. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to comprehend how Jesus can hear each individual prayer and be beside each one of us all the time, because sometimes it's a physical need that we have much more than a spiritual need. And he sends angels to do the work for him sometimes. I sincerely believe that that's why he has so many angels. Do you remember the story, David, about the atheist that was teaching college? And you know we have a lot of that, unfortunately, in our universities today. But the atheist was teaching college, and he came to a segment where he had to denounce all religions and denounce God. And he said, God, if you are alive and you are real, knock me right off of the stage right now. Remember that little story? And nothing happened, and nothing happened. And the college professor had a smirk on his face, and he said, ha, 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 nothing's happening. God, I'll give you another minute. What's happening? Why am I? Knock me off the stage if you're real and so powerful. And he was mocking the Lord in all of his ways. And finally, there was a young soldier who was just happened to be home on leave, sitting in the back of the classroom, and he could no longer tolerate the injustice that this professor was doing in his classroom. So he boldly walked forward to the front of the classroom. He swung the professor, knocked him right off the stage, knocked him out. And finally the professor got up and he looked at the young man. He says, what did you do that for? And he says, God was busy, so he sent me to do the work for him. Yes. So remember that story? That's an angel at work. The angels are about us, and they have many tasks to perform, and I believe that they work diligently. And in fact, you and I can perform when God wants us to use us as angels to inspire others. Perhaps our task is to touch a certain person today listening to this radio broadcast, and it's our job to touch their hearts and souls so that they understand that they too are accounted, they too are a product of the Lord Jesus, and they too have a purpose in this life. But they have to boldly step forward and say, I'm willing to accept the challenge. I do ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I do want to step forward and live a godly life. That could be our task today, David. Right. We might be that angel to someone's needs.
I think that's possible. Every time that we get up to preach or sing or get on the radio, we talk to people about things they are not interested in. Finally,
yes,
it all opens up to them. The light comes on, and they say, wow, man, I didn't know this was all a part of what's happening.
Changes their life.
We might be changing things forever. I mean, that question comes real quick to you. Hey,
that's right.
Does God plan ahead? Does he foresee like 2,000 more years on earth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What about all those people that are going to come? Where are we putting them? Well, how big is heaven? What kind of body are we going to have? We're going to be looking for food? Are we going to be looking for a place to lay our head down? Are we going to sleep? Or are we going to just roam the world? Who knows? Those are questions people are trying to ask, and nobody wants to give them.
Well, some of those things we can answer, some of them we cannot. One of the questions I always had, we were always taught that the streets are paved with gold. Remember that, hearing that? What's that mean? Streets are paved with gold? Well, we're going to have automobiles and we need streets? I don't know.
I mean, if we're going to be rich.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it meant. I think we're just going to walk every place we go. There'd be no need for an automobile. I believe that's what it meant. But it doesn't really say that. So that's my own conjecture. I'm always reluctant to say things that are not written in the Bible. But as long as I caveat that by saying it's my opinion, I guess I can do that.
Well, God does plan ahead.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
That's a good one.
God is telling us the future.
Yes, that's right. He's plans ahead. That's right.
I guess he can predict. He can predict the future for us. Yeah. I mean, he is God.
So it says the Bible says that. So
we are following him explicitly.
Yes. How about here's one for you, David? Can God predict the future?
Wow,
that's a good one.
He's the only one that can do that.
Huh?
It says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." We've been a couple thousand years here. How much have we put together in these 2,000 years? And we don't know whether we have 6 months or 2 years or 2,000 more years.
That's
We don't know God's plan.
Yep, the Bible says each day is to 1,000 years unto the Lord, and each 1,000 years is to a day.
Mm.
So we have no idea, no concept of time, no matter of the reality. Time is nothing. We really don't know the answer to how long this good old earth is going to live, do we? How long it's going to be here?
Well, there's a lot of things we don't know. Why did God give us the Bible? Why do we have that book and nobody reads it? Everybody sits up in the house somewhere and dust covers it. If God gave it to us, why don't we follow it explicitly?
Hey, can I answer that one? I want to answer that one because I found some good scriptures.
Okay, that'll be
all
good.
Right. Joshua, let me read something from Joshua out of the first chapter. This book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt manifest, observe, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, that's why he gave us the Bible. That's written in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let me go down to show you what it says in the Psalms. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet, and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word gives light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Read out of Psalms chapter 119. And here you want something out of the New Testament that answers that question, why did God give us the Bible? How about this one? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So there's a lot of people writing these things for us to tell us why the Bible exists. The Bible is really our guidebook, our map, our paradigm, our method of getting through this good old world, all based on the Bible, because is the answer, where we can find the answers to our questions.
We can find the will of our own life. It says, wait on the Lord.
Yes.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And wait, I say, on the Lord. I will instruct thee, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Man, there's so
that's
much.
Powerful.
The Bible is
is
so full of answers. Answers, and
that's the power of prayer.
That's the way
you just cited that scripture. That is the power of prayer.
Mm.
Wow, thank you, Dave. That's you really made a good one. Our listeners will appreciate that one.
I learned this as a little kid.
Yeah, did you?
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. There's nothing so big that you can't understand it. When a little kid can understand that, go to the altar, get up in the morning and say, God, here I am. I want to be near you today. And he said in his word, I will draw near to you if you draw near to me first. What a world we live in.
Thank you, my friend. David, you're a very powerful speaker. I'm sure our listeners are glad that they tuned in today. But we have to go. We've exhausted our time. My thank you. You're quite an inspiration to our people. WPFG appreciates all that you contribute to us. But right now, we must say goodbye-bye to our listeners.
Hey, there's a lot more coming, so keep your radio tuned our way, and we'll try to answer some great questions. Till the next time, Dave Colonna here. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.